I guess we'll start. We are on the Proverbs study. Do I have this on? Am I on? Yes. I sort of can hear myself. Okay. We are in the Proverbs study. Today is acquiring wisdom. I'm put as a text, Proverbs 1:8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. So that is really the call to action that begins the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is, the way I envision it, is it is written to the king's son. The king is collecting wisdom, but he isn't collecting it just as a novelty or as a set of antiques, but he is collecting it in order to pass it on to his son. And the whole point of the book is to pass that wisdom on to his son. And then, of course, it ends in the last chapter with the virtuous woman, which to me is a personification of everything that he has taught in the book. And the center of that passage is, and the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. That is the son grown up and married to wisdom, is the way I understand that passage. And so that's the whole goal of the book, acquiring wisdom. That's what we're all about. I have a quote in the notes. I see if I got it. Yes, I have it on the screen. I don't have all my quotes on the screen. This is Derek Kidner. He says, wisdom is for anyone who wants it. Fools and simpletons are invited by name to its feast, which is as free as that of folly, he says. I thought, what does he mean by that? Well, wisdom in verse 4 says, whoever is naive, let him turn in here. And then in verse 16, folly is speaking, whoever is naive, let him turn in here. The choice is before you. It's not, and you can go either way. You can go the way of wisdom, or you can go the way of folly, and there are consequences to either way. So it's quite a dramatic portrayal in this book. So we're going to just work through here. Put here a section. The next section is, I'm mostly just going to put Bible verses on for the rest. You've got the notes there. I've left blanks if you like filling in blanks. If you don't want to fill in blanks, you can just shout out answers as we go along or discuss. But the first one, despite these competing invitations, God lays out some stipulations in Proverbs 2, verses 6 through 9. So I want you to sort of discern what I'm getting at when I say God lays out some stipulations. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. So for whom does God store up wisdom? The upright, or the godly ones, as he says in here. Right, so it is true that wisdom is, if we take wisdom on a human level, anybody can gain wisdom. Hopefully people will gain more wisdom as they age and have more experience. They learn not to do that thing again. That's one kind of wisdom. They also can gain wisdom and skill in a particular trade or a particular way of life. But to truly have wisdom, the kind of wisdom the Bible's talking about, you do need to be walking with God. So the book of Proverbs is giving an invitation. He's giving an invitation to the naive, but there's a potential either way. The question of salvation isn't really in view. The person who decides, I'm going to go the way of wisdom, is a person who seems to have a relationship with God. But the book of Proverbs doesn't talk about the beginning of that relationship. It just teaches the wise person what to do, and it calls the foolish person from the foolishness of his ways into a new relationship with God. That's really the way Proverbs presents it. Alright, so that's all from that section. Consequently, where does acquiring wisdom begin? Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So where does the acquiring of wisdom begin? With the fear of the Lord. All right. And if you have questions as I go along or something that I, if you have comments, please feel free. As you know, wave your hands, get my attention, and we'll let you tell us what you're thinking. I have a quote again here from, this is from Dr. Terry Rood, one of my professors at school. He said, "Wisdom comes in a person's relationship with God. It is not learned at universities. It is spiritual and practical, not intellectual." So it is acquired through communion with God. Okay? Alright. Then the next verse, next section, I have from Proverbs chapter 1. It says, "Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you." So, though true wisdom belongs to those who follow the Lord, who does God invite to receive wisdom? The naive, the scoffers. You see a progression in these terms? The naive, the simple-minded, the scoffers, the fools. It seems like this is a whole category of the people who have not been seeking wisdom. So God is saying, or through wisdom, God is saying, I'm here to redeem anybody. And we often think of the scoffer as one who's very hardened to the things of the gospel. You've met people like that. You try to talk to them about the Bible and they just laugh at you. They call you to scorn. Remember, we, early on when we moved here, we lived in this townhouse complex, and there was a complex, or one of the units came vacant. Somebody was moving in. So being a good Samaritan, I said, "Oh, I'll help you move in." And one of the guy's friends, I remember, got talking to me, found out I was a pastor. And boy, the ridicule began. But God can reach a man like that. And he does at times. All right? And that's the invitation is to everybody. All right? Any comments on that while I get a sip of coffee? Okay, let's move on then. Okay, no, Devin.
In those categories, they explain all of us before we knew.
Okay, they were saying those categories explain all of us before we knew the Lord. Yeah, one way or another, we've been there. All right, Tola.
I think you are talking about divine wisdom this time.
Yes.
Because we have different types of wisdom in the world.
Yes.
With the channel into other things.
Yes.
We have academic wisdom, we have secular wisdom, we have all this.
Yes.
But God is calling us to give divine wisdom.
That's right,
so
yes.
So we can do things right.
That's right.
In the way that pleases Him.
That's right.
Not to please men.
That's right. So what Tola is saying is there's different kinds of wisdom in the world, and God is calling us to divine wisdom, to do the things the way God wants us to do, to please Him. Yeah. That's right. And that's exactly right. That's what we're talking about here. All right. So continuing on with this, the verse 24 and 25 says, "Because I called and you refused." Now, this is in the very same context. He just says, "I'm reaching out to you, fools, scoffers, simple-minded, and so forth. Because I called you and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof." All right, so what is the response of many towards wisdom? Wisdom gives the invitation. What is the response of many people?
They refuse.
They're refusing God. Yeah. All right, so then the passage continues. "I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." So, what is the consequence of refusal in these verses? Augustine.
Certainly, by refusing, they will go into problems.
Yes.
And God is saying He will ignore them and leave them to their problems.
That's right. He'll leave them to their problems. I told you so, is what he's saying. I told you so. All right? And because they hated knowledge, he says, and they did not choose the fear of the Lord. So the choice that is before you is a choice, it's a very stark choice. Choose wisdom or choose folly. But it's a time limited offer. So if you choose folly, I mean, even though God will, like, there's people who are scoffers, and God will hear, if they turn, God will hear them. But the consequences of their scoffing, the consequences of their misdeeds, it's going to stay with them, and it will, they're not going to escape from the consequences. Far better to make the choice early than to make the choice late. Alright, any other comments or questions? Okay, so now we're going to get into, chapter 2. Oh, that was supposed to all come at different times. I'm not sure why that all showed up just now. Oh, I see what that, okay. I forgot to read the rest of the chapter because I forgot what my screen was like. We're going to get into chapter 2 now. Never mind all that rest there. Okay. Proverbs 2, 1 to 5. The attitude of the seeker. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Okay, so we're going to work our way through these verses first, and there's some extra things in here. What does the if imply in verse 1? My son, if you will receive my words. What does that imply?
You have the ability to choose.
Pardon me?
You have the ability.
You have the ability or the opportunity to choose. The son has a choice. Duane Garrett says in his commentary, the if represents a decision that every young man must make. He can either go the way of wisdom and find life, true love, and the most importantly, God, or he can turn his back on her and find only bitterness, isolation, and death. One cannot opt out of this decision by choosing a little of one and a little of the other. I think that's an important observation. You can't choose both. You know, you say, well, I'm just going to be wise enough. And it's sort of like the choice of salvation. You can't be just partly a Christian. You have to be wholly committed to the Lord. All right. Then, what heart attitudes must the son have in verse 1? I'm sorry, what?
To treasure the commandments.
Okay, treasuring the commandments of God. What does that reflect in somebody's heart?
Openness.
Pardon me?
Openness, teachability.
Okay, openness, teachability. Anything else? Okay, love, okay, love of the things of God.
Delight,
that's right. Okay, next one. How does a son prepare himself to receive wisdom? Verse 2.
Attention.
Okay, give attention. Open your ears, okay? And open your heart, right? Okay, now, what is that, practically, what does that mean in terms of the kind of position, kind of attitude we need to have towards wisdom as individuals? Pardon me?
Humility.
Humility, yeah. Yeah. Anything else? That's right. Humility is absolutely essential. Because it's a conscious choice. Yeah. Maureen? Oh, sorry.
Openness.
Sure. Sure. Openness is what you said? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Tola?
Is it not possible for somebody to be humble but yet not attentive?
Not have what?
Not having attention. Not attentive.
Oh, not be attentive. Be humble but not attentive. I'm not sure. Depends what you mean by humble. If you mean the Uriah Heep kind of humble. Okay, if you know that story. He's always talking about how humble he is. The people that talk about how humble they are aren't. You know, like we used to have the joke about the book title, Humility and How I Attained It. You know, well, that doesn't work. All right, Maureen?
So you could say that somebody who is humble in their heart is open because you have to be willing to change.
Like, you have to be willing to change, yeah.
Humble enough to know that you're not right.
Yes, humble enough to know that you're not right. Humble enough to know that you must change. Cullen?
Yeah, it's like the passage talks about how much you should value wisdom and almost desperate to have it. Like, you know you need it and you seek it. Like,
that's right. So, so Cullen's saying it, the passage is saying that that you have to be almost desperate for wisdom. You have to value wisdom. And a humble heart is going to say, I don't have the answers. I want.
And an open heart.
An open heart does that. Yeah, so that's the whole idea. Like, we, like, none of us should think that we have it made. You know? So, I went to school for a long time. I know a lot of Bible facts. You know, there's, some preachers have come across with the attitude that, you know, who, you need to listen to me. Right? And the thing is, the preacher needs to be as humble as the rest and learning from God's wisdom and God's word as everybody else.
Well, I sort of would submit that the things in Proverbs are the hardest to receive.
Okay.
In some ways, because people can be very smart about the Bible and theology, but Proverbs is teaching you how to live wisely and control your own spirit, which
yes.
is the hardest thing
That's
to
right.
do.
Yeah. Controlling your spirit is the hardest thing to do. Because we want what we want. Mm-hmm. Right? And whether it's position, whether it's things, whatever it is, we want what we want. And so the Proverbs is teaching us to operate the opposite way to that. And of course we know from a New Testament context, we can only do that through dependence on the Holy Spirit. We can't do it in our own strength. So, alright, so let's move on to the next question. What do the terms in verse 3 and 4 imply about the search for wisdom? This sort of touches on what Cullen said. Anything you anybody want to add to that?
Discipline.
Okay, discipline, right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You know, like, we constantly, one of the things that we counsel you to do to grow in wisdom is to just simply read your Bible. And I've, you know, like anybody, I've had a spotty history of reading my Bible on a regular basis. But a few years ago, I restarted a practice I used to have. I've mentioned this over and over again. I started a little journal. And that journal, I write down the days I miss. And actually this summer, when I was away to the conference, to a conference of preachers, you know, your schedule, they start stuff at like 8 in the morning. I'm like, what are these guys doing? Anyway, so it's really hard to get in. You're up late, really hard to get it in. But that journal tells me, did you do it or didn't you? And so I can, okay, there's some empty spots. All right, Augustine?
Hey, you want to be receptive? You must have that tenderness, the tender
yes.
heart.
Yes.
And you must be conscious of the fact that this is what I want from God.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, that's right. Tola?
We must be consistent in seeking for wisdom.
That's right. Consistent in seeking for wisdom. And that's absolutely, this is our inner man we're trying to deal with and to walk with God. This is what Proverbs is pointing us to. One more question, I think, here. Where do you arrive at the end of this search? Verse 5, and then see also verse 9 I put in there, but you don't have 9 on the screen. If you have your Bible open, you might have it. But anyway, where do you end up in this search?
Knowing God,
okay? You arrive at the fear of the Lord. Okay, having said that, I'm going to open up my Bible, make sure I have it open. Okay, so verse 9 says, then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. Okay, so I'm going to go now to, Rob.
Yeah, the King James says, rather than every right course or whatever you said, every good path.
Every good path, all right? That's a good one, yeah. Okay. All right, so let's. Now we're going to just put up the next few verses. We've already read this once, or part of this, but I want to give you this whole section so that we can cover just to cover some more questions, more thinking. Proverbs 2 is talking about. It's all on this theme of pursuing wisdom. So here we're considering the consequences of wisdom and folly. I'll read the passage up to verse 12 and then we'll go through the questions. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Thus you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. All right, so if you truly receive wisdom, you know where it comes from. So verses 6 through 8, wisdom gives us good what? For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up a sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. Guarding the paths of justice, he preserves the way of his godly ones. What does this, what is these, those three verses talking about? What's the subject of those three verses? Pardon? Well, not just wisdom.
Integrity?
Yeah, I haven't heard it yet.
God is watching out for you, or he's working for you.
Okay, so it's, the subject is God.
Okay.
Right? Okay, so the Lord gives wisdom. It's from his mouth. He stores it up. He's a shield. He guards your paths. He preserves your way. All right? All right, so what wisdom gives us here first? A good theology. Talks about God. Or teaches us, this is, we're talking about divine wisdom, as Tola described it earlier. It gives us a good theology. We have a right grasp of God, of who God is. Alright, so verses 10 to 12, how will wisdom guard you? Verses 10 to 12. Okay.
Well, I guess if you're wise, you're making right decisions, which will help you not to have the consequences of bad decisions.
That's right. So the way I put it is keep you from the path of evil. But if you're wise, Maureen says, you're making good decisions, it'll keep you from the consequences of bad decisions. This is how wisdom guards your way. Okay? It also guards your way from people. Like you can, if you have wisdom, you will be able to tell who's speaking perverse things. Because there are people who will tell you things that are false and have values that are false. Alright, now I want to move on in the text a little bit. We're going to start again with verse 12. But now I wanted to do this because I want to get to do some contrasting in verse 12 and 16. So, to deliver you from the way of evil, this is what wisdom does, deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and who rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. To deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, but leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. So, the passage sees the young man delivered from two people who embody folly in verses 12 to 19. So who are they? I gave you the verse references. So who are these people that wisdom guards you from?
Strange women.
Pardon me? The adulteress. The adulteress or the strange woman. Yes, that's the second one. What's the first one?
People who teach wrong things.
Those who teach wrong things. The man who speaks perverse things. All right. So one of my commentaries, I don't remember, I didn't put a footnote where I got this. One is from Easy Money and the other is from Easy Pleasure. Okay. So-called easy, right?
There's always a cost.
There's always a cost. Yeah, you know those things that they, just put your money here and you'll make millions. Yeah, all right. That's not the way it works. Okay? It's just be careful. Anybody tells you that it's an easy way to just, you can make a quick buck. Yeah, all right. Yeah, that guy will make a quick buck. You know, it's like those, I often, you know, think of those people who have seminars. They'll give you a free seminar and for an extra $400 you get the full deal the next day. And those are the guys that are making money off of that concept. Okay? All right, next question. How do these people lead young men astray? In verse 12, what do they use? And in verse 16, what do they use? Flattering words in verse 16. And in verse 12?
Lies.
Okay? So this is how they lead them astray. All right. Then I want to bring in verse 1 again. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you. So compare the invitation in verse 1. What does a foolish son ignore? So if he's listening to the man who speaks perverse things, or if he's listening to the strange woman, what does a foolish son ignore?
His commandments.
Pardon me?
His father's commandments.
His father's commandments, his father's words. Okay, the words and commandments of his father. Bruce Waltke says, both the words of the Father and those of the apostates have dynamic spiritual powers for good and evil on the community. So, it's an interesting way he puts it. They have dynamic spiritual powers. The people that you listen to, words, I mean, there is a force in words. So if you tend to fill your mind with people who tell lies, you will tend to believe a lie. People have mentioned to me different books that they've started to read, started to follow. In fact, there was, I'm thinking of a fellow right now who was very faithful in church attendance. Very supportive of our ministry. He one time said, if you were to leave, where would we go? But then he got, I don't know if it was on the internet or where, he got listening to somebody who was teaching some things that were slightly different from what I taught. And were, in fact, I think there was an area of our teaching where he slightly disagreed with me. And he picked up on that one point that this other guy taught, and the guy just led him further and further and further away, where he began to even deny the truth of the gospel. He left the church. If you listen to words, the dynamic spiritual powers of evil words, they can lead your mind away. So it's very, very important for us to learn to source our understanding in the scriptures and to test everything by the scriptures. You might say, well, I don't know enough of the scriptures. Then study them more. Put your heart and mind to it. Debbie?
No, the really sad thing is that when he died, he had no eternal security.
Yes.
Not sure.
That's right. Debbie says the really sad thing, she knows who I'm talking about. When he died, he had no security in his soul that he would go to heaven. Now, I don't know. God knows that story. God knows who that is, right? And we did everything we could. All right, Marlene.
Well, the person about seeking to hear what they want to hear, like,
yes.
Hear, when they don't hear it, they can say, the right batch go to the Lord in prayer, seeking.
Yes, yes. Yes. That, Marlene, it makes a very good observation. She says, somebody like that, they're hearing what they want to hear. And so our goal ought to be to go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to show us what we need and help us. And we should be committed to wanting what God wants in our knowledge. That's how we acquire wisdom. All right, Tola first. Go ahead.
We should be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
If not, a Christian, if a deceiver comes to a Christian,
yeah,
to talk to you about perversity, if a Christian is not careful,
yes,
he will go further and further to the point of no return.
That's right.
He will not be able to come back to the true word of God again.
That's right, yes.
So and we should be sensitive.
Yes, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You're right. And that is a problem that many, many have had. Maureen wants to add something.
Well, could you say that possibly the danger of being casual with any form of entertainment,
mm-hmm,
can you are hearing perverse words over and over and over and over.
That's right.
So even things that are so-called, you know, there's lots of philosophy in many different things that if you're hearing it over and over and over again, you might not be aware.
Yes.
Possibly that your mind is being deceived.
That's right. And so that's an area, like, we're not Puritans and we don't say, you can, you know, you're a Christian now, that means fun is over. We're not saying that. Okay, we still have fun and we enjoy things that are fun. But behind every work of literature, every television show, every movie, every whatever, there is a philosophy, usually an anti-God philosophy. Now, we have to be fully committed to God's word, and when we see a deviation, you know, we can't let ourselves be so immersed in those things that our frame of reference is the culture. And I'll say, I'll get to you, Rob, in a second. I saw that hand. Okay. But the frame of reference, you know, like so many people, I remember, trying to talk to people when I was working as a commissioner, and they, you know, sometimes things would come up and they say, well, have you seen that movie? And they'd describe something. No, I don't see many movies. You know, but see, their frame of reference for truth is movies. So our frame of reference for, now, like I said, we're not against having fun and relaxing, and a movie is okay once in a while. But the point is, not all movies, by the way, but the point is, our frame of reference is the Bible. So we answer life's questions from the Bible, not from our culture. The culture is, at best, can only illustrate what the Bible says. But it cannot substitute for what the Bible says. All right, Rob, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to quote you from in the past.
Oh, okay, good. Better than me quoting me. That's good. Okay.
So, well, you've always said you have to be teachable. So
yeah.
We don't all have the corner on truth. We're supposed to be Bereans.
Yes.
That also means we have to be teachable.
Yeah.
Just adhering to our own beliefs.
We have to be teachable. And when we do come out with, like, you know, there's things I'll read in the commentaries where they'll say, okay, this means whatever. And I'll argue with the commentaries. If you were to read my notes, you'd see, well, I don't know if this guy, I'd quote it. I'll say, I'm not sure he's right. He's all wet. And then I read another commentary. Oh, well, maybe he's not so all wet or whatever. But you have to be open. Whenever your beliefs are challenged, somebody else has a different take on the scriptures. You have to think about what they're saying and then sort of marshal arguments one way or another so that you can come to some kind of conclusion often about things. But teachability, wow, that's such a big thing. All right, Larry.
Yeah, I think the thing you mentioned about entertainment, movies, all that, every book, every movie, every form of entertainment has a theology.
It does,
whether
absolutely.
They admit it or not.
Absolutely,
and
yes.
And if you don't approach it knowing that and being somewhat discerning of that,
yes,
then that makes it even all the more dangerous. But
that's right, that's right.
Everyone's a theologian.
Yes.
Whether they would admit it or not.
Or even know what a theologian is.
Or even know what a theologian is.
That's right. And sometimes there are some that are so blatant. Like you'll, the more you dig into certain ones, you realize this is actually, this work of literature, whether it's a movie or book or whatever, is actually an evangelistic tract for a false philosophy. This winter there was a big promotion for Falun Gong, or not for Falun, but for some performance that was being put on as some
Shenyu.
What it was called?
Shenyu.
Shenyu, yes. Okay, that was being put on by Falun Gong, which is a Chinese cult. Okay, I don't recall if you read Kevin. Anybody who read Kevin Shaw's piece in Proclaim and Defend on that? But he says, I went to a cult's evangelistic service. Okay? Because once he was there, he took his mother there for Christmas. And he says, once I was there, I realized, they are trying to convert me. So, that's the thing. That wisdom says, guide everything by the Bible and test everything by the Bible. Alright, so let's move on to the last verse. Okay, last couple of verses. Proverbs 2, verse 13 says, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of death, Proverbs 2, verses 18 to 19 says, "For her house sinks down to death, and her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life." What is the destination of perverse paths? Death and darkness, okay? And then the last bit, "So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it." So what is the destination of wisdom?
In the land of God,
fellowship with good men, walk on the right paths. Anything else? Okay, so that's the choice. That's the call. This is the Proverbs is always putting on our face this choice. Which way are you going to walk? Okay, and he does make it, he does put it in black and white terms. You're either going this way or you're going that way. But I will say that for every man, that choice is all, if you haven't chosen wisdom, the choice is already always there. You can always repent, if you will. But it does seem that in life there is, for many people, you read their biographies, you can find the point in their life where they made the final choice. And they, after that, there was no going back. Now, I certainly wouldn't want to chance it. If I was, knowing what I know about God and the Word of God, I would not want to take the chance that, okay, I can sin, I can go this far and I can still repent. Okay. But regardless, to the sinner, we keep saying repent. All right, James?
Well, it also, the Bible teaches us that we're going to run out of time.
That's right.
Push it off, repent tomorrow, change my life tomorrow.
That's right.
There's only a million verses where, it says the chances are over.
That's right. All right, Betty.
The author of Proverbs, Solomon.
Yes.
But when I think about Solomon's life,
yes,
there is over in there reminding that apparently he was knowing all this is not.
Yes.
We always,
yes, that's right. Yeah, Solomon himself. And then the thing is with Solomon is that we generally take this as a product of his middle age. And it was his old age where he especially departed from the way. Yeah, so even Solomon was not immune. Okay, yet, he has an exalted place in the history of salvation. So,
that's a tribute to God's grace.
That's right.
And Proverbs, these are still God's words.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Yes. And usually, the way it's ordered, they think the Song of Solomon is a product of his youth. The Proverbs is a product of his middle age. The Ecclesiastes is a product of his old age. When he begins to stop and reflect and realize he didn't have it all figured out. Okay. All right. So, Debbie. Oh. Sorry, Augustine.
Yeah, don't you think it's safer for a Christian to detach? Say, for instance, you have a friend because he said, "Show me your friend, I'll tell you who you are."
Yeah.
The friend, probably started saying something. You tested the spirit.
Yeah.
You aren't seeing that Christian quality in that spirit, and you never can tell when you will be lured into something. Don't you think it's safer for you to detach completely?
I'm not quite sure what you're asking me.
Don't you think it's safer for you to detach?
Oh, okay, yes. That's right. Okay, so evaluating your friends.
Exactly.
Right. Okay, so you've got a friend who is sort of going the wrong way and keeps talking to you about the wrong way. Is it safer for you as a Christian to distance yourself from that friend? And I would say yes. There comes a point. I mean, we want to try to help anybody. But there may come a point in that relationship where their evil influence is more than, you've done all you can to tell them the truth. And their evil influence maybe can come to a point where you just simply say, okay, we're not going to talk about this now anymore. I'm not going to accept what you say. I hope you will someday accept what I've said. Maureen.
Would you say, for example, well, it's true at any age, but I think particularly when people are younger.
Yes.
I think that I reflect back on my life when I was going to university, for example.
Yeah.
A lot of the people who would say that they're Christians were very different than me, probably,
yeah.
But there was hardly anyone who was.
Yeah.
Or even in high school there was nobody who was a friend. So I didn't solve my loneliness by hanging out with them.
Right.
Because I would have been like them.
And, yes.
You know people that did that, and
their spiritual life deteriorated.
Yeah, they ended up looking just like them instead of looking like Christians.
Yes, and especially that's true for young people who are forming their personality, I think.
At any age,
old people like me, I can still have bad friends who might influence me badly. But it's more likely when I am less secure in myself, I suppose. It's harder to get an old man to change.
I think this teaching is very good for the youths. I don't know whether, because they are not joining us here.
Yes.
It's good for, I don't know whether this kind of teaching is also going to them.
Well, I'll tell you, our guys, they're using some books that do teach along these same lines, absolutely. And those young people, you look at them, like they're, and they're so much fun. I like to go and sit and yak with them at lunch and talk about what's going on in their lives and stuff. But they are at an age where they're faced with that choice every day. They go to school, they're faced with those choices. And if you're going to be a Christian and you're going to walk with God, you're going to be a little weird to that crowd in school.
A lot weird, okay.
So you have to be willing to be a lot weird. Now, that was no problem for me. I've been a lot weird my whole life. So that works. All right, Cullen?
Yeah, the teams are going through like a very similar topic.
Okay. Okay, Cullen knows the book there. Yeah, they're working on it. Okay, so yes. Okay, let's pray and we'll finish up for today. Our Father, we thank you for this time of study. We pray that as we think about wisdom, that we ourselves will be, we're not just talking about forming our lives, but living our lives. So Lord, as we go through and make life decisions, we pray that we'll make decisions that reflect the wisdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.